Hi, welcome to East to West WLS, the podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April, and I'm the West.
And I'm Jason, and I'm the East.
And today, Miss Nat's joining us. Zephyrin!
Oh, hi, how's it going?
Oh, you know. We are super excited today to reflect on our Back to Basics challenges. We all committed to something in the beginning of September, and we are now at the end of the month, and we have walked away with some wins, we've done some learning, and we've had some setbacks. Mm-hmm. Our conversation is really just going to center around, right, like, what were those goals? How did they go? And then what are we going to carry with us into October?
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
I've got some wins. I know we all have some wins, but I also have some learning. So I'm very much excited to really dive into this conversation. So I think we just get right into it. What do you guys think? You ready?
Let's do it.
Hey guys, it's April. Did you know that you can leave us a voice message with your feedback or questions on our Anchor homepage and we can incorporate it directly into the podcast? Isn't that cool? Just head to anchor.fm/east2westwls, which is our Anchor homepage. Scroll down a little bit until you see the message box and then use your smartphone to leave us a message. We'd be so happy to hear from you and we're very excited to incorporate your questions into an upcoming show. Thanks for your continued support of East to West WLS.
All right, first things first. What did we all commit to in September? Nat, why don't you share with us first?
I committed to sticking to my meal plan. If you're watching, Hooper just jumped up on my lap. He says hello. I committed to, just sticking to a meal plan, ordering out less often, cooking for myself, and then also sticking with my water goals, making sure I prioritize water because I always feel better when I'm hydrated. So those were my goals. Not deviating, using my Instacart, sticking to my lists.
Yeah, you were kind of going to use what Jason was going to practice this month, like smart shopping, right?
Yeah.
So Jason, how did your month go? Or what were you working on in September?
My goals were more water, more consistent in the gym, and the smart shopping, which was just, recreating the orders that we already had on file with Walmart. Instead of me going into the store, which leads me to buy things I don't need to have in the house. So yeah, those were where I landed.
And I think my goals were really centered around, I picked one of each of our three pillars. So for movement, I wanted to move 10 days this month. For the mindset, I really wanted to focus on telling myself that I am a morning person. I can get up earlier. I can block my time. And then for my metabolic wellness goals, I wanted to track a meal a day and I wanted to be consistent with my vitamins. That was my big thing. So maybe let's start with our end results and then let's talk about where we had the wins, where we had the setbacks and kind of what we're going to carry forward with us. So Nat, where did you end up with your September results?
Yeah, I feel like I did really well. I definitely did not eat out as often, which was great. I really tried to stick to eating what I had in the house and not letting my emotional eating or, binge eating past overtake me if I had a rough day. And even I went to a wedding. We can get into this again later, but I just really stuck to my guns and tried to eat out as little as possible, which was really good for me. Water, I was talking about it today. I had a Seattle bariatric meetup and I was saying how all of a sudden I am really liking the taste of just normal water. And it's very weird because if you know me, I've always been like a Crystal Light girl, Propel, like all of the above. But just this month, something about it, I don't know what happened, but I really was drinking more just plain water. So that was nice.
Wow, that's a big shift.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling like emotionally or nutritionally isn't really like a feeling, but like how is your overall mood or you know, what are you feeling different now than you were at the beginning of the month?
Yeah, I think I feel more in control. Like I feel like I have more of a handle on what I was eating, which to be honest, like I wasn't deviating that much before. Like I wasn't eating out every night or anything like that, but just having a little bit more of that control in what I'm eating and my diet. I think I'm also noticing, we talked about this before, but I'm noticing sensitivities a little bit more to different foods, and things like that. So I'm feeling like I am, this month kind of allowed me to reset and like listen to my body again, which was unexpected.
Well, and it's something that we really haven't done before, probably in our old lives prior to bariatric surgery. And I think the three of us have talked about this before, but when we really pare down our diet and we focus on more whole foods, we notice a lot more about when it comes to our satiation, our overall health. We really notice discomforts when we eat certain foods, and when we eat too much or we eat too little. It's like all of a sudden when we kind of take food away and we really pare it down, we can much more clearly listen to and interpret and hear what our bodies are telling us. So it sounds like you're really describing that to a T.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I kind of reset my thinking towards food. Like I was having a bit of a panic, I think in August, being like, oh my gosh, I can eat so much more and, you know, all this stuff. But it's like, well, no, I could eat more not great things. But when you sit down and you have real whole foods in front of you, you can't eat as much because you're satisfied sooner. So, and when you're hydrated, you're satisfied sooner and you feel better. So yeah, I think it was just I needed to get back to basics, you know, get back to those food basics.
Truth. I think like everybody in our community was feeling exactly how we were feeling. And it makes my heart really happy to see so many people recognizing that it's okay and it is necessary to get back to basics, right? If we give ourselves too much trust, or we give ourselves too much rein, right? Or freeway, so to speak, we can kind of get ourselves in trouble. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I'm not ready for this, and stepping back and just taking it back to our most simplest of pillars. Mm-hmm. Nice work, friend. Okay, Mr. Smith, you're up. So,
I think for mine, I did. I had wins. I had losses. I had more wins than I had losses, or setbacks, I should say. I did really well with water. Water wasn't an issue. I was able to increase by at least 24 ounces every day, additional to what I was already doing. So it put me right up to almost 100 ounces a day. So that was awesome. But I needed it, though. That's what's funny, I felt a lot better with it that way. And then with the gym, I did really well for about, I would say, 3/4 of the month. This last, you know, week and a half or so, have, you know, we've been doing crazy busy things and meetings and work, and stuff's just been wild. And I did allow myself to talk myself out of going as much, because it was always meeting, you know, work meetings and then everything else. And then it was like, by the time we were done, for me, it's late and I don't want to go to the gym at, you know, 10 o'clock at night and then have to be up at 7 o'clock in the morning, you know, or clock in by 7 in the morning. That's just a lot. So instead of, you know, the thing that I will say as a setback for me was I got in back into the singular mode of thinking of, well, since I'm not going to the gym, I'm just not going to do anything at all, because it's easier just to lay down here and watch TV or hang out or just kind of unplug and let my mind just kind of reset for the night, instead of knowing that my ass has weights underneath my bedside table and I've got, you know, resistance bands on the back of the door, and I've got a yoga mat in the corner. Like, I could have been doing stuff, like, even though I wasn't at it. Like, before, it used to be, well, I've got all this stuff here, so I don't need to join a gym, so I'm just going to work out this little bit here. And I kind of, you know, went through the motions and played my way through it. But I reverted back to the opposite way, going, well, if I can't go into the gym, then I can't really work out like I would. And then if I just do part of the stuff here, I'm not going to be as strong and ready to go to the gym the next day, because my muscles will be sore from the half-ass workout I did at home. You know, like I said, we're ultimate salespeople when it comes to selling ourselves on why we can't do stuff. And I fell victim to it while we were even talking about it. So to think that it can't happen to you or that you're a huge failure because you let that thing sink in, you know, think about it from my perspective, as we talk about this all the time, we're connected, fully connected to all of these, you know, thought processes, and it can still happen. So give yourself a little space, a little bit of grace to know that just because you didn't make it to the gym doesn't mean you're a failure. It just means that you really had a lot going on, and maybe your body was telling you you needed to kind of reset, take a little bit of time. So for me, I kind of felt like, you know, I could have done better, but, you know.
You bring up such a great point, though, that while you were making great strides in a lot of the areas that you wanted to focus on, these setbacks are really a learning opportunity for you. Right. So while you were dialing in these other things, at the same time, you were realizing, oh, my God, I'm really good at talking myself out of things that I probably shouldn't. So you're almost setting yourself up for like looking forward in October. Right. It's like, OK, well, I've really nailed this. This is becoming very automated. I'm feeling good in this area. Now I've already identified something that I couldn't shift to. And because these things are being automated, I'm good with my water. I'm on track with shopping. I have the capacity to now focus on this thing. So, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's growth everywhere. And even though, sure, it was a bit of a setback, what you learned, I think, is 10 times more important than what you, that one didn't happen.
Yeah, definitely, because also moving forward, I will now think about more along the lines of, while I may not be able to do my complete workout that I would do at the gym, doing some workout is better than no workout. And the stuff that I do at home with what I have available is different than the stuff I do in the gym anyway. So there's only two exercises that I would do in the gym that I will do here at the house with what I've got. Everything else is working different parts of the body that I just don't, you know, that I don't do, that I have better access to do different body groups at the gym. So in essence, it really will, it kind of did lend me to the fact that I do still need to be moving, period.
Mm-hmm. That's a powerful takeaway. There's a lot there.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Well, so you guys know, I love my trackers. Right? These are like my bread and butter. And I was really excited because I stayed faithful to them. And while my 10 days of movement goal, I have not achieved that. That needs more work. What I am really proud about is I have a lot of X's on this tracker. If you guys are watching on our YouTube channel, you can see there's a lot of X's and there's a lot of lines. And those X's mean I completed it. Those lines, just a single line, means, well, I did it halfway. And when I look at this, this is 1,000 times better than what was happening in July and August. And for me to know that I really engaged with my meals, with my vitamins, with my water, with my movement, with my mindset often, I feel better. And like what you said, Nat, earlier, I feel much more in control of the things that I can have control in. Mm-hmm. I am seeing results kind of in my clarity. Like I'm feeling like I'm crossing all kinds of things off my list. Even though we have a lot going on, I'm able to focus and dedicate my time into these areas. And I am getting up earlier. You guys, I mean, some mornings I have 6 a.m. meetings for me, which is unheard of. And I'm up and I'm I'm doing those things. So I might not have met my goal to be up at 5 a.m., but I'm certainly doing much better when it comes to that. And I've seen a really great response on the scale. So I got up to 218 pounds and today I stepped on the scale at 208.
Nice. Yes.
So things are working. And that was where that data, I was up, I knew that it wasn't a big scary regain, but that was not only a number that I didn't want to see, but my clothes were fitting weird. I just didn't feel great. So that's not a happy, healthy weight for me. So to know that I'm back down on the scale is good. And the reason that I am down is because I am so aware. I was tracking my food. Even though I didn't track every meal, I could see those macros. And on some days it was like, oh my gosh, I am way high on my carbs, or I am not even close to my protein. And I could make changes throughout my day based on that. And you guys know I ordered Berry Box meals. They are phenomenal. I am so happy with them. It has really lowered my food anxiety because I know that I always have a bariatric friendly meal in my freezer or in my house that I can go to. And I cannot believe how delicious they are, just straight out of the freezer. And I am blown away. I thought that the portion was too small for me, the berry box portion. It's not. It's actually just right. And when I finish that meal, I am full. I am satiated and I am full. So that was telling me I was eating way too much before. I was kind of like what you said, Nat, right? Like, oh no, I was eating a ton of the foods that I shouldn't. But when I ate real whole food, I was full. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, okay, well, there's clearly a takeaway there. So let's talk a little bit more about our wins and our setbacks. What were some wins that you guys really experienced it and you were excited about? Nat, why don't you start us off?
Yeah. So like I said, I think my biggest one really came to, like, I really noticed it. I was at a wedding over the weekend, and usually when I go out of town, I'm like, okay, I mentally prepare myself to eat out, because that's what you usually do when you go out of town. You go out to dinner, you grab breakfast here and there. You know, that's just our culture. And stayed at my cousin's house, and I was like, we can order in if you want. Like, I don't want you to have to cook or, like, you know, whatever. And then we had kind of been talking. We're like, actually, like, we have enough here. Like, let's just make something, you know, simple. And so really, I only ate out. We went to the wedding. It was great. They had like a taco bar. It was like, oh, it was the best. So I ate out then. And then the next day we were out and about shopping, and we decided to go out to lunch. But like, out of three nights, we, and like four-ish days, we only ate out twice, technically. That would have never happened before, but I was already kind of in that mindset, like, I'll help you cook, like, if you want, but I don't want to, like, put you out, you know, but, like, I'm willing to cook a meal or, you know, take care of this or that. And I kind of went into that weekend with that kind of clarity of being like, I don't really want to eat out. Like, it's fun, but, like, I don't really want to.
And that's huge.
Yeah.
That's a big shift.
Yeah. Because eating out was like my thing. I love eating out. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I still do, but like, it's anxiety inducing now because we don't know what a restaurant's going to have. Are they going to have options for us? You know, that kind of a thing. And so luckily we ended up finding a restaurant. It all worked out. But yeah, like the other times that we were, you know, at home, I was kind of like, we could eat out. I don't really want to, but we could, because I don't want you to have to do dishes. It was just kind of this whole thing. But yeah, I really realized, like, on my drive home, I was kind of like, oh, that was different. You know, it's like, that's weird. But it felt good. It felt good to want to eat it, like, eat at home and, like, eat real things. And they had a garden, and so we went out and we, like, picked fresh vegetables, and like, they even had like beans and all this stuff. So we were like really just eating as whole as you can get. Mm-hmm. And it just felt really good.
Nice. That is a really big shift. Well, and I think we've all also realized, or we all know what it feels like when we kind of flush our body out and we're only feeding it kind of whole nutritious food. It really does respond differently than, mm-hmm. than if we were eating in a different way. So that's awesome. Nice. Good win.
I thought so.
That's good stuff.
Jason, what about you? What was kind of your biggest win?
The biggest win for me was the Shop and Smart was because we really stayed to ordering the groceries. Normally where I'll go to the store after work, I'd probably say 4 out of the 5 days of the week, I'll run to the store for whatever the hell I think we need that we don't really need. and I think I may have gone to the store maybe 5 times total the month. And even when I did go, I beelined it straight for what it was I was going for. Self-checkout, hit it, because that way I didn't have to wait in line. I didn't have to second guess thinking about anything. I ran through self-checkout, threw that shit across, paid, and was like, gotta go, went right back to the truck and took off. So I adjusted not only my pathway through the store so that I didn't hit any of that, because I've got that store down now in my hand. I could walk through it in the dark. But I get to a point now where I know what to avoid. And so when I do have to go and get things, I can hit those areas, make it back to the checkout without ever tempting myself through the places I don't need to be. So.
Dang, that is nice. This might be a totally random question. You might not know the answer to this, but did you guys notice, did you save any money this month because you were kind of shopping differently?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's like a double bonus.
Cause I'll blow an easy, probably $30 to $35 a day at the store. Cause I'll just buy just when I'm up there grabbing stuff. Cause I just grab two or three, four things for, not for just today, because I'm also thinking about tomorrow. And then what about the next day after that? I'm going to want some of this for that day. Or maybe I'm not feeling like it, but I know I will. So I'll just toss it in the basket before I know. I'm anywhere between $25 to $35 on top of the grocery budget. So you take that out, because that's another probably $150, $200 a week that I'm blowing just on, you know, by daily purchases that we don't need.
Wow.
Yeah. My girlfriends and I, we have a girls' night once a week, and my best friend, we all gather at her apartment, and she lives by, April knows about PCC. It's like a very bougie, delicious grocery store. And I don't have one. I know, same. I don't have one like accessible to me, like where I am, but she literally lives above a PCC. And so
that would be
her house, oh my God. And just be like, oh, I don't have to think about dinner because I'm going over to PCC and I can just grab whatever I want. Well, I was very diligent this month and I said, okay, I'm going to PCC to grab what I need, you know, like if I'm even going to go. Or we'd be like, okay, let's make this for dinner. Like we were a lot more intentional about like girls' night, instead of us just like collectively just going down there and like ransack the place, you know? But I would do that once a week. And before I was dropping like $40, like $40 to $50 on just like the most random stuff, because I'm like, I know I don't have a PCC near me. And so I'd just be like, you know, so yeah, being more intentional, being like, no, I have this at home, or I can bring my dinner tonight, or, you know, something like that, where I'm more intentional about it. I spent a lot less money for sure.
Yeah. See, our Southeast coasters will understand, that's our Publix is our PCC, and they literally have everything and they make everything with love and they care about you so deeply. They're like the chick. I always tell everybody they're the Chick-fil-A of grocery stores because they just care. And everything you do, like if you left a bag at the store, they'd probably bring it to your house and put it up for you. Like it's, they're that type of people. So everything that they make in their deli is amazing. So that's just, that's what you have to avoid. Like when I go in there, you have to avoid it because you smell the fried chicken from outside. Their wings are out of this world. Yes. So when you walk in the door, you're just like, so you have to automatically be like, no chicken.
I mean, you know, that's part of their marketing, because they want your shopping experience to truly be an experience, right? And so they're getting you with these hard to find items, or these bougie items, or these like artisan pickles from who knows where. And you're like, I will totally pay $5 for a giant pickle. I mean, because it's hand picked in Vermont, you know, it's like, God,
pesto, the all vegan pesto. That's just, it is so good. It doesn't even taste vegan.
Oh my God.
I would bathe in it.
Their new skincare routine.
Oh my God. Yeah. New skincare routine coming soon. But seriously, I mean, I find myself, I'll just like browse the aisles because it's some stuff that I don't see at Fred Meyer or like, you know. So yeah, I would drop $50 to $60.
Oh, friends, I have a Metro Market opening up here in Gig Harbor. And let me tell you, Grady has already hot carded me. He's like, you are not going. Nope. I'll take your debit card is gone. I'm giving you cash, because he knows I will just lose my ever loving. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Nat. You know, the struggle is going to be beyond real. It's going to be.
Market chocolate chip cookies are just end game.
I can't. Everything in Met Market is where I'm at. You know, a really big win for me this month was coming to the realization that while planning and tracking and being intentional about thinking about certain things might seem anxiety inducing at first, it actually helps me be more calm on the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
And that was really kind of an aha moment. I mean, you guys know this month has just been crazy. My personal life is crazy. East to West is crazy. And it feels like every second of the day I am doing something. And there are days where I just feel so overwhelmed. But on those days, I'm not turning to food and I'm not turning to alcohol. I'm kind of just turning inward. I'm turning to my planner. I'm turning to reading. I'm turning to tracking. I'm moving through the emotions as I think a person that has a healthy relationship with food is, and that is not turning to it and just continuing to use it as nutrition and then look for coping mechanisms elsewhere. So that was a really big, win for me this month, which was exciting in a lot of ways. That, and I mean, being down 10 pounds, that helps too.
Yeah, I can see how both of those are big wins.
Right. Yeah. So what is something that we maybe struggled with this month, or what is the thing that we learned from our getting back to basics in September that we want to carry forward with us in October? Mm-hmm. Jason, what about you?
Mine is just the ability to move, even if it is not in the gym, and I can block better time to go, hopefully. And if I can't go, then I know that I have an alternate plan and I need to enact that alternate plan, because I can do the same thing. You know, I could do the same amount of movement sitting there watching TV as I could sitting there watching TV and not moving at all. So, because everything I have is set up is directly around my bed, which is where the TV is anyway, on the wall directly in front of that. So I can do all the stuff that I'm doing and still not miss anything that I'm watching, which I don't normally care about anyway. So
I like it. I like how you took that learning from this month and you're saying, nope, I'm going to carry that. That's going to be my focus in October. And just so y'all know, I'm writing these down and I'm going to hold us accountable, because that is what friends do.
Yes, absolutely.
Miss Nat, what about you? What are you going to carry forward?
I think for me, I realized I had to block, similar to Jason, I have to block out my time because I'm relying more on whole foods and having to cook whole foods for myself. I'm realizing how much it does take time, and it is time consuming. And I really noticed this month, you know, when starting a new job and, you know, juggling, you know, East to West, like we said, and then on top of that, focusing on whole foods and cooking for myself, I was like, I don't have time for anything, like, let alone cooking, you know. And I realized, like, oh, that was my problem before, was not setting aside an hour to cook a real meal, you know, because I was so used to zapping stuff in the microwave, which is great. I love, like, real good foods is great. You know, all of that stuff is a great thing to have, but it's not something I should be relying on every day. And I was. So I bought if you're watching, I have a huge calendar by my desk that I stare at every single day. Because they know, like, things just slipped out of my mind. I'm not a planner person. I've learned that. So what I'm taking into October is, if something comes up, I write it down on my big whiteboard, and I make sure that I have time to still make myself dinner for lunches tomorrow. You know, I just am making sure that I have the time, because otherwise I'm going to be SOL.
Girl, you and I were talking about this on text. I don't know, Jason, if you were on that text string, but I really started time blocking in September, and it has made all the difference in the world for me. I just feel like I'm in more control of the time that I do have, and I'm just getting more done in that space. Cause it's like, no, I got 30 minutes or an hour to get these 10 things done. I have to get them done. And it has been a real time saver, and I've been applying it to my personal life. Like, no, like 6:30 to 8 is when we're making dinner. Grady and I are making dinner and we're eating it. And then I'm in bed by 9. I'm reading, it makes a big difference. At first it feels like, oh, but now this is one more thing that I have to do. But if that one more thing actually buys you time on the back end.
I was just going to say, it, yeah. actually gives you time.
It does.
Yeah. You know, it actually, like today, you know, busy day. I've been like all over the place today. And I got home by 4 p.m. and I remember like intentionally blocking off 4 to 5 p.m. to just do nothing, to literally just sit in silence and like pet my dog and like, you know, just like breathe. Mm-hmm. And I mean, am I still tired? Yes, of course I am. It's been a long day, but I feel more present as I'm sitting here recording this podcast because I blocked out that time instead of saying, oh, but I should be doing this or that. No, you blocked it out. 4 to 5, you're doing nothing. You're sitting. I literally had nothing on in my house, like silence.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Oh, one of my most favorite sayings is that sometimes we have to go slow to go fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's 100% true. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like we really do need to take time to go a little bit slower, to figure things out, to do nothing so that we can move faster at a different point.
Yeah. Well, with so much information and so many things at our fingertips today, we grossly underestimate the power of unplugging and, just like Nat said, sitting in silence, just not doing anything, any screen at all, not your phone screen, TV screen, computer screen, none of it. Don't look at any of that shit. Set it all down. Take a few deep, like, you don't have to do it for an hour if you don't have an hour. But you know you've got 5, 10, 15 minutes where you can build in and just put everything down and just sit and breathe. I don't care if you have to go hide in the bathroom. Whatever it is, wherever you can find that little bit of peace, carve out that time for yourself and take it. But I guarantee you, once you start, even if you start with a small amount, you're going to find more as the days go by. I promise you that, because you're going to realize what that does for your soul, and you're going to crave that. And so at that point, you're going to start thinking that other things aren't quite as important, and they're going to start going to the back burner. And that peace is really, you're going to start hunting for that peace, because trust and believe, it makes a difference.
Yeah. It's like I talked to my mom very briefly before, because something funny happened, but I said, yeah, I was just sitting there in silence. And she was like, oh, okay. Like, she does that all the time. You know, she's like, that's not anything abnormal. No, like I did nothing for the last 45 minutes and it felt great. I was like, you know what it feels like? It feels like a bubble bath for my brain. Like just nothing inputted. Nothing. Just, it felt like I just had a bubble bath for my brain.
It's so funny that we should be talking about this. I'm reading a book right now called The 5 a.m. Club, and it drives me crazy, but it's been excellent. And that one of the tenets of that book is to set time aside to do nothing, and the importance of giving our brain this break, and how all of these digital distractions really almost enslave us to getting nothing done. And we just kind of keep kicking the can down the road. And it's always a catch-22 for me, because I rely on Instagram for support. I rely on podcasts. I rely on these types of supports to get me through. But if I'm constantly utilizing them, then I'm actually not doing the work. I'm not doing anything that I'm learning. So to take time away to do just what you guys are saying, to do nothing, is necessary and needed to actually apply what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mind blowing.
If you keep doing it the way that we do as a society right now, the value, you don't get the value from it, because you're just constantly scrolling, seeing it flash before mm-hmm. your eyes, but you're not actually internalizing, because your brain hasn't reset. It hasn't chilled.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no comprehension to what you're reading. Like, you're just scrolling picture to picture to picture to picture to post to post to post. And you don't absorb any of it. And you don't actually take time to connect with the material. And that's what the whole thing is there for. Mm-hmm. Like, you can have a million followers, but you can't absorb a million followers content if that's all you do. Like, if you just continue to scroll through it, if you don't take a break from it, you're never going to have time to crave any of that, because you're going to be so busy consuming that you haven't had time to take any of it in. So,
yeah. Yep. Well, what I'm carrying forward into October is really kind of what all of us have been talking about. I'm going to continue to time block. I'm going to continue to track the things that I did last month, which is track a meal a day, take my vitamins, and get in at least 60 ounces of water. So I'm just going to continue because it's not automated yet for me. So I need to continue to do that. Movement is something I'm definitely missing. So I'm going to I'm going to up my goal from 10 to 12 days in October. And then meditation. I was so stressed out the other day. I was on a walk and literally my brain just said, you need to meditate. You need to sit and do nothing. And I did it. I went and I sat on my back patio for 10 minutes and it was glorious. So I want to do that weekly. I don't know. I'm going to set a number. I haven't figured that out yet, but that's what I want to carry into October. It's important and it's necessary and it's needed for me. Absolutely. Well, I'm really proud of everything that we achieved, you guys, in September. It was a lot.
It was.
September was a lot.
It was a lot. I mean, really, when I think about it, we all went through a major transition, right, with work and with our personal lives. There were big things that happened. And on top of that, we committed to doing some very big things in our bariatric life. And we walked away with some huge wins and we walked away with some monumental understanding of where we are and where we want to go. So in my book, it was a hugely successful month and I'm very proud of all of us for what we were able to accomplish because we rocked it. Nice work, friends.
Yes, nice work. Absolutely. We did well, I believe.
Mm-hmm. So, and don't worry, I wrote down all of our things. So we will make sure that we check in with each other in October. I think it's really important that we kind of set these intentions and then we model for the community how we can move forward, how we can continue to say, nope, I'm going to work on this. And then how we can use our friendship as an accountability tool to help us become the people that we want to become. So I'm very excited for that conversation.
It also shows people that, you know, it gives people kind of the roadmap of knowing that it is a process. Process is the biggest word. It's a journey. It's a process. It's, you know, we're not going to jump out in October and go, okay, well, we had all October licked and it's only the 5th. Woo! Like, it doesn't work that way. So showing people that that's how that, you know, that it does take the entire month to figure it out and get it all situated, that, you know, lets people know that they're not going to, they haven't derailed by the first few days.
Absolutely. All right, friends, let's do a little East to West housekeeping. We kind of have some things that we want to make sure that our friends and our followers and our listeners know. Nat, you wanted to share something about Sundays.
Yes. So if you've been following us for a while, we do a segment or a post both on our stories and our grid where we shout out one of you guys, one of our community members. There's over 10,000 of you right now, and we have barely scratched the surface. So every Sunday, I just go down the line of those who have filled out our Sunday submission form, and you guys tell me about yourselves, your journeys, how much you've lost, your strengths, your weaknesses, and your favorite bariatric snacks. I feel like I always learn bariatric snacks because I ask for that information selfishly. All you have to do is go to the link in our bio or just go to easttowestwls.com, scroll down a little bit, fill out that Sunday submission form. It is free. You do not have to be a patron. You do not have to pay us. Literally just go to the website and fill it out. That's all you have to do. And I just first come, first serve, and I schedule them out. And you not only get a post on our feed, but you also get to have me talk about you and brag about you on our stories. So I love to do it. I know April and Jason love it as well. We just love getting to know you guys. You guys support us so much. And so we want to give back that support by highlighting you guys.
It's what it's all about. We want to shine the spotlight on the amazing work that this community is doing. And we are thankful that we have a platform to do that.
Yes. Absolutely.
And speaking of amazing supporters, we have a growing, thriving, vibrant Patreon community. These are the people that really, truly believe in what we're doing here at East to West, and they support us monthly for $5. And that support literally helps us keep the lights on when it comes to what we do here at East to West. And our patrons, their support has allowed us to create something brand new, something that does not exist in our community yet. And we are going to be rolling it out to the world in November. Our patrons have been behind the scenes. They've been helping us beta test. They've been offering feedback. They are getting access to these amazing opportunities that nobody else is getting. And our plan is for Patreon to go away in November when we roll out this new support. But if you would like to be on the ground floor, if you would like to be the OG, if you want to be that person that will always be remembered as somebody that helped East to West blow up on the scene and support our community in a new way, consider becoming a patron. Even if you're a patron for a month or 2 months, it doesn't matter. We're thankful for your support, and we would love your help and your feedback to launch this pretty amazing thing. So if you would like more information about how to become a Patreon, all you need to do is, well, you can direct message us. There's links in our Instagram bio, or you can go to patreon.com/east2westwls. And of course, we're always happy to answer any questions that you might have about that. But we get notified as soon as you join our team. We send you a message, we add you to our private Instagram chat, and then the fun continues from there. So we hope that you will think about joining us in October and November.
Yes. All right. And we just want to thank everybody for all the support that you guys have given us now. We wouldn't be able to do what we do if it wasn't for you guys helping us along the way. Supporting you helps support us, and our journeys are part of your journeys. So it's cyclical in that way, and we enjoy that probably the most out of all the things that we get to do as a support community. So thank you for that. Don't forget, you can always continue to like, share, and subscribe. Please leave us your ratings and reviews on any of your favorite podcast players. You can also do the same on our YouTube channel and leave ratings and reviews there as well. And other than that, just remember at the end of the day that you've got this, we've got you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.